This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here this morning to celebrate the baptism of our Lord. We'll follow our service received on the way in, beginning on page 3 with confession, absolution, followed by sharing the peace and the processional hymn. We have the Cantorite Choir with us today from Concordia Theological Seminary at Fort Wayne, they will be helping with our worship this morning. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated for the confession of sins. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us rise to greet one another with the peace of the Lord.
comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Jordan River by John the Baptist. Not funny that baptized Jesus. And when he was baptized, a voice came from heaven, God's voice, and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and landed upon him. Now, when you were baptized, none of that stuff happened, did it? You weren't baptized in the Jordan River. God's voice didn't come from heaven. And the Holy Spirit didn't come like a dove, but he did come to us when we were baptized. Did you know that? Yeah. He comes to us when we're baptized. And so we have the Holy Spirit. It's God's gift to us in our baptism. So let's just take a minute, everybody bow their heads, and let's just pray and thank God for our baptism. Okay? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and the gift of baptism. May we cherish that gift and remember back to the time that we were baptized. We ask this in your name. Amen. And so I thought a good treat for you today, since we're talking about water, would be some goldfish. So come over here and I'll give you a hug.
We continue with the sermon hymn to Jordan King, "The Christ Our Lord," stanzas 1, 2, and 5, and sung by the choir.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Back in November, I witnessed the baptism of 8 students from our day school. It was moving to see these young people drawn to the font by faith. But I will say, it was very messy. As each student leaned over the font, Pastor Judd would scoop out water and drench their heads while proclaiming that these children are baptized in the triune name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. While some of the water fell back into the font, a healthy portion of the water rolled off the side and onto the stone floor. By the time all 8 baptisms were completed, most of the water was no longer in the font. The scene showed that something messy happened here. When we think about baptism, we usually think of something elegant and clean. The color white is often used to show the righteousness and purity God offers to the baptized. Sins are washed away, and Christ is put on. A burning candle is lit to show the world that the light of Christ is now in this believer. The new life of the baptized is started. It all seems clean on our end, but what about to God? Is baptism clean or messy in his point of view? Let's begin with the man who baptizes Jesus. In our gospel reading, we hear John proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Nothing seems clean about this man's ministry. For starters, he preaches in the wilderness. According to the custom of the Jews, the only sacred and holy place to preach was in the temple in Jerusalem or in the local synagogues. John is in the wilderness, where wild animals roam, and where everything unclean resides. He wears camel hair and eats locusts and wild honey. Not only does the man look messy, but baptizing he does in the Jordan River, which has muddy water. Nothing about what John is doing is sanitary, yet despite the lack of cleanliness, people are lured into John's teaching. Our text says in verse 5, "And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going to him and being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Somehow the preaching of John attracts so many people into the water. Something about John was different and makes people confident that God was working through him to forgive sins. Yet his ministry confuses the temple staff. Later in Mark, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. This is the beginning of his passion walk to the cross. At the temple, Jesus is tested by scribes and by priests. They ask Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things, or who gave you this authority to do them?" Jesus said, "I will ask you a question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? After much discussion and fear of being hated by the Jews, they answer Jesus saying, "We don't know." The temple officials are blind to what John's baptism is teaching. They think that this immersion in the Jordan is nothing more than a scam to ruin their business. They are scared that John is taking away their customers and putting their temple up for foreclosure. If John succeeds, essentially they would be out of a job. These blind priests and scribes do not realize that this man, John, is the last of the Old Testament prophets. The clothes John wears are the same clothes worn by men before him who proclaimed God's word to all nations about the coming Messiah. The food John eats, though seemingly odd in diet, is the food provided by God in the wilderness. This is similar to how God provided meat for Elijah at the Korath ravine east of the Jordan River nearly 900 years earlier. Not only is John's lifestyle similar, but the message is also the same. Jonah proclaimed to the city of Nineveh, "Yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown." And then the people believed in God and repented of their evil ways. When Jeremiah was commanded by the Lord to prophesy to King Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, he said, "Thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law that I have set before you, and to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets whom I send to you urgently, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse for all nations of the earth." Just like Elijah, Jeremiah, and Jonah, and all the other prophets, John's message is repent, for the Messiah comes. And like many prophets before him, John suffers imprisonment and death. Yet even though the prophets, including John, suffer many afflictions and sometimes even death for preaching God's truth, none of what they suffer compares to the pain and hardships Christ would suffer through his baptism. Before Jesus is baptized, he is already clean. He is God. He doesn't carry any sin with him into the water. The message of John, repent and be baptized, seems obsolete as there is nothing to wash away. But if we remember what the will of God is throughout the Old Testament, it makes a lot of sense. God had to send his son to earth so that there would be a sacrifice large enough to atone for the sins of the whole world. When the heavens open at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descends down and the voice of the Father thunders from heaven saying, "You are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased." This voice from the Father is not just a, "Hey, son, I'm proud of you," like some dads do after their son's basketball team wins a game. This word, pleased, points out that the body of Jesus that was washed in the Jordan came out of the waters ready to take on the wrath of the Father and be a sacrifice for all. God provides this sacrifice to save his creation from the bondage of death. In his baptism, Jesus puts on your sin, my sin, the sins of his disciples, the sins of all the prophets, and all people, and takes them to the cross. This baptism makes Jesus' life and death messy and miserable. Throughout his ministry, Jesus gets his hands dirty. After he is baptized, he goes out to be tempted by Satan in the wilderness, while never sinning once. His first disciples come from low social classes. His first miracle in Mark is to heal the unclean spirit of an unclean man. He heals many others with diseases, eats dinners with criminals, gets called out by the temple staff for being a hypocrite, and is arrested. Then he is beaten, spat on, mocked, and killed. Yet while all this is happening to him, he knows that he suffers all these things for all men. He dies even for those who are putting him there on the cross. There is nothing clean about what Jesus had to do by taking on the Father's will. His baptism that ends with his death is the only way he could make you clean. The will of the Father is completed when you are washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ in your baptism. In baptism, you are united with Christ in his death. Yet the work of the Son is not done if Christ stays dead. St. Paul writes, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." If we only hear that Christ died, there would be no hope for eternal life. He went through all this messiness of death on the cross to make atonement for the sins of the world, and then rises out of the depths of death 3 days later. This is the work that pleases the Father. This is the work that fixes the gap between God and man. When the baptized pray, "Thy kingdom come," and we eat of that body and drink of that blood in his supper, we get a glimpse of the unity of heaven and earth. We look forward to the day of the resurrection of the dead, when we will forever be in his presence, and we will never again be lost to the messiness of this world. Jesus did the dirty work for you, so that you could be washed whiter than snow. He completed the work of the prophets, took on all sin, and freely gives you his living water of everlasting life. He has chosen you, saved you, and sets you free. You are clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise together as we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
One addition to our prayers today is Carrie Keller. We had an extensive foot surgery coming up this Thursday. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for the revelation of Jesus Christ and his wondrous epiphany in the Jordan, and for the revelation of God's name and blessing to us in holy baptism, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the baptized children of God, that we may daily die to sin and rise to newness of life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who proclaim Jesus Christ, that through their godly message many would repent of their sins and join in his heavenly kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the boldness and purity of John the Baptist, that we would live with our eyes fixed on our heavenly inheritance, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the rulers of the nations, especially Joseph, that they would submit to the preaching of God's word and acknowledge Jesus as the Christ and the true King, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, depressed, tired, confused, and those in any need, especially Danielle, Kelly, Paul, Michelle, Rob, Frank, Earl, Jenny, Amanda, Mike, Tyler, Kelly, Debbie, Todd, Ashley, Randy, Jim, Ella, Toby, Jameson, Anne, and Carrie, that they would know God's comfort. For all expecting mothers and their children, that they may have a safe delivery and be brought also to the life-giving water of holy baptism, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have received holy baptism, that they would treasure this heavenly gift and so receive the body and blood of Christ for their salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for those who went before us and passed the faith on to us, and who now rest in Christ from all their labors, that since we have died with Christ in baptism, we may be raised with him also, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty Father, as your Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, you uttered your word and the world was created. In the waters of holy baptism, you have spoken our names and declared us righteous. You have drawn us to Jesus, the light of life, and saved us. Let his light now shine through us, that others may see our good works and give glory to you. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit, Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, for the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the Lord's Day.
Come on, take away. those who promise to my spirit. Take the running of our great shepherd. Give us all your support. Take a drink of the great shepherd. Give us all your support. Take a drink of the great shepherd. Give us all your support.
Thank you.
this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.